Heidi is here, but unfortunately got sick and this morning and is unable to attend. So fortunately, I knew this presentation because this is from the same group in San Diego. So bear with me as I try to represent the information that she wanted to share with you. So this presentation is a report on a parallel activity that we have done in the past in San Diego and continue to do in the context of this new adolescent study, and that is a random digit dialing telephone survey in which we do a community-based assessment of adolescent immunizations as well as ask some questions about attitudes related to adolescent immunization. This is part of our overall effort to monitor immunization coverage rate in San Diego, including for teens, analyze the factors associated with vaccine receipt, and we took the advantage of doing this study to insert some questions about the relationship between administration of clinical preventive service counseling with vaccinations in adolescent healthcare visits. So this, again, is a random digit telephone dialing survey. Our immunization branch has been doing this since 1995 in our community, targeting a variety of age groups, and I'll share our historical data around adolescents. We do multi-language interviews, although for us that's primarily Spanish and English, although we do have some interviewers who can speak additional languages. We do these surveys during the weekday between 5 and 9 p.m. or on the weekend. On Saturdays between 10 and 2 in the hopes of finding people at home. We solicit immunization information from handheld immunization records that the parents have in this case, and I should mention that we are interviewing the parents here about their adolescents. We're not interviewing the adolescents. And we also did take information for recall, although the data I'm going to show you here is not just based on recall. If a parent read to us an immunization record that was complete, in other words, the child had received all of the recommended vaccines, we did not try to verify that record, so we took that at face value. If the immunization record was incomplete, or if the parent could not find the immunization record, we then attempted to validate data using our San Diego immunization registry. So that's an important caveat to the way this study was done. Telephone numbers are obtained, pre-screened, hopefully to avoid businesses and non-residential enterprises. We do include cellular telephone numbers in these lists. The respondents that we're targeting, again, are the parents who have teenagers between 11 and 17 years of age. And if they had not been in for a visit that would include clinical preventive services in the last 2 years, we excluded them from this study group. This survey was conducted between July 2009 and June 2010, and that'll be relevant with regard to any pertussis questions because that was just at the beginning of the big California pertussis outbreak. This is our sample size. Altogether, 877 parents of adolescents participated in the survey. The response rate is not overall. That's of people who started talking to us, who made it through the screening questions, began doing the survey, and as you can see, about 11% eventually terminated before we were able to finish the survey. So that's the number of completed surveys that we managed after starting, and I'll show you how hard it is to get them started in just a minute. With regard to the added immunization data we were able to get out of our immunization registry, only 50.6% of the parents could find their adolescent's immunization record. For those, we went to our immunization registry and found additional data for 15%. So the data I'm going to share with you is based on 65% of the total population. This is the language breakdown. As you can see, a large percent of surveys conducted in Spanish. This is demographics. The middle column is the demographics of the survey population. The right-hand column is the breakdown from our local census data, and the point is simply to show that our sample pretty well represents the ethnic and racial breakdown of our community, and we had a pretty equal number of males and females. So here's coverage rates. The blue bars are the coverage rates after we went to the registry for additional data, so those are the ones really to focus on. A couple of highlights. We have relatively high two-dose hepatitis A coverage, which surprised me a little because this is an older cohort, and the two-dose recommendation was primarily focusing on young children, at least early on in California. Our Tdap rates, 47%, but again, this occurred just prior or just as our outbreak was occurring, and we will be collecting follow-up data to see if we got a significant jump in pertussis vaccine coverage because of the outbreak. Meningococcal vaccine, similarly, 47%. And then HPV, the repeating saga now of dropping coverage rate for dose 2 and dose 3. And much like the national data, our local data for dose 3 is only 27%. This now compares some of the historical data that we had from previous surveys, independent of this specific study on adolescent vaccines. The oldest data is only from 2007, so we've only in the last few years been surveying adolescents. And as you can see, we didn't ask about every vaccine every year. The purpley magenta colored bars are the most recent survey that I already shared some data with you about. And as you can see, we're seeing substantial increases for meningococcal and HPV coverage over the years between 2007 and 2009-10. The Tdap column is sort of interesting. It's relatively flat, and I think in part that may be an artifact of the data collection, and that we may be capturing some TD doses, although we specifically ask about that and try and get parents to distinguish a TD from a Tdap. On the California handhold immunization record, there is one box. It's DTAP, TD, and Tdap. It's all in one box. So the parent has to be able to read whatever is scribbled in that box. And, you know, I think there was a bit of a learning curve both on the part of our surveyors and maybe for parents in distinguishing those. So in 2007, when Tdap was relatively new, I'm concerned some of those are actually TDs, but I don't have any firm data to confirm that. With regard to any disparity in ethnicity and race, as has been seen in other studies, and as you can see here in the blue bars, our Hispanic population is generally better immunized than our Caucasian population. So if we have a disparity, it's in the Caucasians, which is a nice change of events. And these are for the vaccines you see on the bottom. I'll show you HPV vaccine in a moment. But please note that few of these are statistically significant, in some cases because our sample size for other non-Hispanic, non-Caucasian populations are relatively small. But only the hepatitis A and the varicella were statistically significant associations between race, ethnicity, and coverage rate. This is the HPV data for doses 1, 2, and 3. In this graph, the others are purple. And here we do have a disparity in the non-Hispanic, non-Caucasian population. In San Diego, that is primarily African American. But please note that the sample sizes are quite small for that population, and therefore the confidence on these point estimates is relatively poor. Once again, though, Hispanics are better immunized than Caucasians. We asked about preventive services. To our great surprise and pleasure, about 40% of these teenagers had a regular checkup in the last 6 months and 36% in the last year. So altogether, three-quarters of them had been in for a preventive visit in the last year, which is higher than we had expected. And for you in the audience who care for adolescents, I was quite surprised by the bottom figure, that is the number of parents who reported being in the exam room for the entire visit. For younger teens, 11 to 13, 83% of the time, but even for older teens, 63% of the time. That isn't the way it's supposed to happen. So the data I'm going to share with you on administration of preventive services is colored a little bit by the fact that the parent was in the room for most of the time. Now, because of the way we're doing this, we're surveying the parents. That's the only data we have. But regardless of the data I present to you, I question just exactly how thorough the preventive services are when the parents are in the room at such high percent of the time. But this is the report on what preventive counseling went on, divided into the two age categories. The blue bars are 14 to 17, the dark blue bars, and the light color is 11 to 13-year-old. And as you might predict, physicians are more likely to cover topics of alcohol and substance abuse and sexually transmitted disease in the older population and focus a little more on exercise and nutrition in the younger population. Altogether, though, the reported administration of, or receipt of preventive service counseling, this is the report of the parent, is mostly less than 50% of the time. And these are all during well preventive visits. These are not during sick visits. So that's a little bit discouraging. We tried to look at the association between preventive service counseling and immunization by lumping those topics into four categories: health maintenance, safety, sexual health, and substance abuse. And then look at coverage rates for the various vaccines, depending on how many topics within those categories were discussed, to see if there was a correlation, particularly a negative correlation. That is, if you talked about more and more preventive counseling, did you forget about or run out of time to give vaccines? So for each of those four categories, I'll show a graph like this, which shows the number of topics discussed, 0, 1, 2, or 3 in this case, and the coverage rate for the various vaccines. The statistical significance is down at the bottom. And for this one, that is the discussion of health maintenance topics, there seems to be a slight trend in favor of higher coverage rates for adolescents in whom more topics were discussed, but it's only statistically significant for MCV and Tdap in the younger population. For vaccine safety, there's actually only one question, so there's not a number of topics discussed. It's simply, did you talk about safety or did you not? Again, a trend towards more likely to receive vaccine if topics were discussed, but only statistically significant for MCV4 in the older population. Sexual health issues, same general phenomenon. The more topics discussed, the higher the coverage rate, but most not statistically significant. And lastly, substance abuse is the one area for which there's the least clear correlation between discussing sexual health topics and vaccine coverage, including for HPV vaccine. And looked at in a slightly different way, we looked at now the general four categories and asked whether the provider discussed at least one of the topics in each of the four categories and correlated that. Now, this data is presented by age, so this is for the younger age group. Whether no topics were discussed or whether topics from all four categories were discussed is compared to coverage rate. And again, as you see, there seems to be a trend, but lacking statistical significance except for MCV4. And now for the older population, 14 to 17-year-olds, really not so much of a trend between the number of topics covered and the vaccine coverage rate. And none of those, I guess the Tdap is statistically significant, but less of a trend apparent as you look at this graph visually. So to conclude, our coverage rates for MCV4, hepatitis A, and HBV specifically have increased quite a bit over the period that we've been studying them in San Diego, which is encouraging. Surprisingly, the parent is in the room for the majority of these adolescent preventive services visits. There's only a moderate correlation between delivery of preventive service counseling and immunization, but one thing worth noting is there's no negative correlation. In other words, the more topics discussed, it doesn't seem to interfere with the ability to give vaccines, which is one of the questions we're trying to answer with this study. And that disparities, to the extent that they exist in our population, remain primarily with HPV vaccine and the completion of that series. Limitations, this is a telephone survey. We only verified records through the immunization registry, not the medical record, and there's both volunteer and recall bias associated with this kind of a study. I acknowledge our public health officers who helped us conduct this study. Thanks very much.